All right. Chris.
Marcus.
We're back.
We are back. A little pocket awareness.
You guys already know what to do. Follow us on Twitter, ALPA _QB1. Get us 100 followers. We're almost there. I feel like we're building. We're finally getting, you guys are getting the following. You know what I mean? I'm start putting out some more quarterback stuff while I go through these guys and break them down. I'm starting my quarterback list, Chris. And I just want to say that. And
it's an important time of the year, Marcus.
Important time of the year. I start the quarterback list.
I'm going to tell you who the number one quarterback on your quarterback list is later in this episode.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
Hashtag we'll see already. For our first hashtag we'll see in the new year. The new league year. The new league year.
100%. Yeah. But wow. Also Instagram, ALPA_QB1. I want to say Twitter again just because I missed it. ALPA_QB1 for Twitter. Make sure you hit Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness on Facebook. Hit us up here. Make sure you guys follow us here too on iTunes, Spotify. Download there. Hit the subscribe button on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at the Mark John NFL, at King Manelos for Chris. I'll try to keep the quarterback thoughts on my page. I'm trying to put it more on the ALPA because I get harassed every time I talk about a quarterback. So I get harassed. I can't have my own thoughts. I'm not allowed. Every thought I have to have is about Derek, is comparing that quarterback to Derek Carr. So I can't have my own personal thoughts on quarterbacks myself.
That's what we got. That's what we got, ALPA. That's what we got. A little pocket.
I have to make the move.
A little pocket awareness, baby.
I've been forced to make the move, Chris. It's interesting because it gets annoying, man. I can't do it. This one dude was arguing with me today, trying to tell me that Russell Wilson's going to be fine because he doesn't like Derek Carr. So he's like, Russell Wilson's going to be fine. I'm like, bro. He still struggles against too high defenses. It's not going to change just because you don't like Derek Carr. Doesn't mean how to stop Russell Wilson changes. I'm sorry. what do you want me to tell you? You want me to be like, they have Derek Carr. Now they can't stop. He's still Russell Wilson. I don't get it. It was just
Marcus, that's a great place to start because we've had ourselves quite a week already. It is only Wednesday when we're recording. So by the time we drop this podcast, who knows what's going to happen? Something might happen by the time we're still recording this podcast with the way that the league started out here this week. But Russell Wilson is a good place to start. And he and his trade that he has approved and he passed the physical for, Russell Wilson's going to Denver.
Russell Wilson's going to Denver Broncos. I'm excited to hear that the Raiders are going to finish fourth and then somehow finish second again, right behind the Chiefs. Somehow. We don't know how it happens. We don't know, but it happens. It's probably going to happen again because those teams, they're not better than us right now. I don't get it. But Russell Wilson's going over there. He chose to go there.
He chose, He dropped his no-trade clause to be in Denver, which is very interesting. Something very interesting for me.
Yeah, go to Denver, right? He said he wants to win 3 more Super Bowls, and he chose the Denver Broncos.
He chose Denver. Marcus, I got a few questions for you with this trade here. All right, so let's start with the offensive line. What was the problem that Russell Wilson had in Seattle? What was he complaining about?
The offensive line.
Yeah. What was the problem in Denver this last season besides Drew Lock?
Denver's offensive line has potential. See, everything's about Denver.
Potential. Sure. They got potential.
It's like names.
It's all potential in Denver is what it is. It's all potential. did you see how bad that offensive line was this last season? Did you, by chance, happen to recognize how poor they played?
I mean, they couldn't stop the Raiders. Raiders kind of just
So he went from an offensive line that sucked to now he's on an offensive line that sucked.
Has potential.
Last year.
They have potential. But it has potential. Garrett Bowles, who didn't have the season that he had before, he got his contract. He got paid a lot, and now you have Bowles, who is supposed to be a big left tackle. He can't block in the Ngakoue though. And then they don't have a right tackle right now. They have Bobby Massey. Oh, scary Bobby Massey. And then they have potential guys inside. Because the Broncos really
I'll tell you what, I do like Quinn, the rookie guard.
Yes,
that's the only offensive lineman in Denver that I'm like, that's a good lineman.
But it's funny. I actually saw a stat today in The Ringer. Benjamin Solak wrote a great article about Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson is actually gets sacked more when his quarter when his offensive lines are better because he holds the ball longer because he could trust him.
Marcus, there is a clip. There is a clip on our Twitter page of Dwayne Brown yelling at Russell Wilson to get rid of the football. It is on our Twitter page right now.
When I saw that, I was like, that's hilarious. Because that's true. He's a deep ball quarterback. So if you give him a great offensive line, what is he going to do? He's going to, I got more time to find something deep. That's what he's going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Where doesn't Russell throw the ball? Across the middle of the field.
And that's where Jerry Jeudy is. Like, it's weird because I think fans get excited about what's on the potential of the Broncos because all the favorite draft names that we know. Like KJ Hamler. We all know KJ Hamler.
KJ Hamler. Jerry Jeudy. Everybody's loving Cortland Sutherland on the
outside. Cortland Sutton. We all loved him coming Cortland out. Sutton, he's my wide receiver one, Cortland Sutton. You know, he got 1,000 yards once. You know,
Tim Patrick playing like out of his mind and becoming the, you know, making a 4-man receiver team all of a sudden.
Yeah, right. And then and he's never really had more than 1,000 yards. So I mean, he's never really had that explosion season, right? So it's all about potential with this team. We are feeling like, okay, now Russell Wilson comes in and has this team reach the potential of all these draft picks that we love because everybody's been loving their drafts. Oh, you know, I remember when, you know, Drew Lock was supposed to be the quarterback, right, going into 2020, and they drafted Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler. Remember the hype around that?
I remember the hype around that, but I remember our conversation about Drew Lock coming out of college. Let's be 100%. Like, if we got to roll back the tape, we can roll back the tape. We knew what that was going to be with Drew Lock, and I think that's why everybody's so hyped up on this potential. Is because of the quarterback situation and what it's been the last 5-6 years in Denver. They never, like, the closest thing they had was Brock when they had Brock and they gave him a big contract and he was good for half a season.
You know, and they haven't found one since Peyton Manning left, right? I mean, even for a little bit, but they haven't found one since Peyton left.
No, they haven't. And, they really didn't have one since Elway. I mean, let's be 100% honest. What was it, Cutler? Cutler was the best thing they had before Peyton?
Yeah, and Peyton, I mean, I guess they're hoping for like a Russell Wilson type of thing with Peyton. But, I mean, Peyton, I mean, he's like the greatest real quarterback of all time. I mean, he knows what the defense is doing before they do. it's a different thing.
Russ can't see half the defense.
He threw 55 touchdowns with a dead arm.
With a dead arm and a fused neck.
And he's just throwing floaters right into perfectly anticipated. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different.
He's a different. Yeah. Oh, you couldn't be more right.
Right. It's different, right? Russell is who he is, who he is. People say this about every quarterback that played this long. Russell is who he is, man. He's not going to change. I mean, he's going to start checking down now. I mean, he didn't start when he's 26. Why is he going to do it when he's 33? You know, it's not. He's not going to become a rhythm quarterback running RPOs. Like, I saw somebody say that. Like, what do you guys – what are we watching? What are we talking about? Are we talking football or are we just talking hype? And I feel like – you know what I mean? Like, there's a football part of this, right? Yeah. Okay. The hype, Russell Wilson. He's a big-time quarterback. You know, I love Russell Wilson. I really feel like he's underrated legend in the legend status, right? I really feel like he's underrated there. And he doesn't get the love that I think he deserves there. But – he's not unstoppable. That's my thing. Like, we've all seen him be stopped. How many playoff games do we have to watch him being stopped? And I'd be like, it's like, that's the whole conversation I'm having. It's like, man, we're just going to ignore everything that we saw. It's like Kyler Murray. The Kyler Murray conversation, too. It bothers the hell out of me. We all just saw.
Oh, it bothers you. It bothers you.
We all just saw one of the worst quarterback performances in the playoffs we've seen in probably a long time. And we're just all ignoring it. And just now he deserves 40. We all are in agreement. He's top six. Like, it's just, I don't know what's going on, man.
I know what's going on. Did you see Mina Kimes? Right, did you see Mina Kimes troll the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah.
She ratioed him.
I know.
That was incredible. They're trying to troll her about Russ getting, because that's her team, those Seattle Seahawks. They're trying to troll her about the trade. And she came back and post a picture of Kyler Murray in athletics jersey in a batting cage.
Oh, while, bro.
Feeding my narrative. Thank you, Mina Kimes.
But exactly. But it's just hilarious how we're getting with these quarterback hype. We're not thinking about football anymore.
No,
the football part of it is not being thought about. And there's a football part of this. There always will be, guys. You can hype up everything. There will always be football. The game still has to be played. Somebody's going to come up with a strategy on the other side to stop the other team, no matter how much you hype it up between the quarterbacks. There's going to be a guy playing defense that you're not talking about who's going to try to stop the other guy. And there's a formula to stop Russell Wilson.
You know how Russell Wilson has success?
What?
He turns around and hands the ball off again.
He doesn't want to do that, though. He doesn't want to do that, Chris.
Listen, Hackett is going to – it's first-time head coach. He's coming from an offense that was under LaFleur that goes back to the Shanahan. And, this is potentially – because they've got two great running backs over there. I think they're going to try and –
Melvin Gordon's a free agent.
Well, I think they're in full efforts to try and bring him back. If he can turn around and hand the ball off and go back to what he was when Marshawn Lynch was – the running back, because you also have to remember Russell Wilson's learning a new offense for the first time.
This is his.
You're going to tell me the coordinators came through and really changed the entire offense for Russell Wilson?
See, that's another thing. You cannot run the same offense you ran for Aaron Rodgers as you run for Russell Wilson. You can't.
I agree with you completely. But I think what Hackett needs to do is mirror the early years of Seattle, because he's gonna have guys that can run the football, and Russ, if you don't leave it all on Russ's shoulders, I think that it would be okay.
That's what Russell Wilson wants. Russell Wilson wants to throw the ball.
He wants it all on his shoulder. No, I know, but I don't think that happens.
But then why did they trade for him then? Because that's what he wants. I mean, that's why this trade is so weird to me a little bit. Like, he's going to a philosopher, a guy, Nathaniel Hackett. The Packers run the ball a lot. Like, they run the ball a lot. I mean, that's what people don't talk about. Is that Aaron Rodgers hasn't been throwing the ball a lot lately, right? They haven't put everything on his shoulders to give him a lot of play action. They're giving Aaron Rodgers easy play. And he's been an MVP twice because of it.
Yeah, so, 2 years in a row, right? Exactly.
For Aaron Rodgers. So the thought process is that they would make the game easy for him, right?
Yeah.
Will he take it? Will he take the easy game? And that's the question. He has to – if he can decide, okay, I'm going to embrace it, you know, because I know people like to say, well, Aaron Rodgers was – playing freelance too. Well, he hated Mike McCarthy, but in 2010, he ran Mike McCarthy's offense. He didn't freelance that much. He ran the offense, and he was really effective at it. It's just Mike McCarthy was running so many slant flats that it, you know, the NFL kind of caught on. it happens. So, right, he started freelancing. He's like, okay, he gets mad. They call slant flat again. Come on, man, you can't call dragon for the third time in a row. I'm gonna try to find something else. And it happened, and then LaFleur came in, and they stopped, and Aaron Rodgers was like, okay, all right, this is kind of – I like this, and he got back in rhythm. Like Russell Wilson's never really played in rhythm. So we're asking him to do something he's never done. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, maybe he comes in there, and they go 14-2 or 15-2,
whatever. Oh, come on. No, that's not happening. That's not happening. They'll get to 10 wins because Russell Wilson is a guaranteed 10, regardless of anything that happens. And I hate saying that out loud. It's your fault that I say that.
Now, Chris, I do want to talk about something real quick. I want to show the Broncos losing the players that they're losing on their defense. That is supposed to be really the big hype of this, right? Is they got a top five defense, right? Whatever, right?
Yeah, the defense is supposed to be a big part of their success. Absolutely.
Right. So let's look at the players that they're losing on defense here. So they're losing their starting linebacker, Alexander Johnson. They're losing their other starting linebacker, Josie Jewell. They're both in free agency. They're losing their starting slot receiver, Bryce Callahan. They're losing their starting safety,
slot Kareem corner. Jackson.
Yeah.
A veteran.
They're losing Kyle Fuller. I mean, suppose he has had a down year, but he's a good corner, right?
So, and then they got Melvin Gordon. Top corners.
Yeah, and then Melvin Gordon is supposed to be coming back, but we'll see, right? I mean, the teams say that we want him back. What
4-3 defense?
they got a new coordinator. I never he come from he's a Fangio guy. but he's not Vic Fangio, right? I mean,
were they running a four? They ran a 4-3 last year, though.
They ran like a nickel. Yeah, they must run.
Okay.
I mean, because Bryce Callahan's on the field all the time.
Okay.
So they run.
So they ran a nickel. So they lost their top two linebackers.
Top two linebackers, yeah.
Two of their three starting corners because they run that nickel based defense. Mm-hmm. A starting safety. So they lost. They lost three of the five guys in their secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And they so they lost five of their back seven.
Yes.
Wow.
Like what are we talking about? We don't talk football anymore.
did anybody win this trade? Because I can't say that Seattle won this trade.
Oh man, see, the
like bringing in Drew Lock to compete for your starting quarterback job is not win. That's not winning a trade. To Noah Fant at a tight, they don't know how to use tight ends in Seattle.
See, we don't know that because I mean the middle of the field has been taken away for 10 years. We don't know if they know how to use okay.
I mean, they had Jimmy Graham, didn't know how to use him.
Yeah, I see.
DK Metcalf just runs either goes or hitches. So, and Tyler Lockett just runs go routes. By the way, I would take DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett over the three or four wide receivers that they have in Denver. Like, I don't know how people can say that, like, that Russell's going to a better situation with the wide receiver game. I don't get that. I don't get that.
Let's say, I totally forgot what I was going to say now. Damn it. I had a good thought, but it doesn't matter. Anyways.
Tight ends, middle of the field,
middle of the field. I have a thought. It would be hilarious because, I mean, Shane Waldron, he's a Sean McVay guy. It would be hilarious if they turned Drew Lock into, like, Jared Goff. I'd be hilarious. That would be the icing of the cake of this whole trade is if they turned Drew Lock into Jared Goff.
You know what they should do?
Because it's hilarious. It's actually, people don't want to talk about this. I'm gonna bring this up. But if you look up Drew Lock's play action numbers in play action, they're actually really, really good. And it's hilarious that I actually just thought of that mid-show. And I'm able to pull it up right now because that was like a big thing. Like, if we put Drew Lock in play action, he could really do well, right? It was a big push last year before he started, right? You know, because he's in that battle with, what's his name?
Teddy Bridgewater,
right? He's in that battle with Teddy. And we talked about how he was in play action doing all this, you know, fun stuff, and you know, he's scoring all these big plays in play action. Everybody loves Drew Lock. So we got Drew Lock's numbers in play action here. Just give me this passer rating here. Yeah, I just want passer rating. Here we go. Passer rating. He is 14th in passer rating. With a passer rating of 116 in play action.
116 is 14.
Yeah, but I don't have the qualifier in here, so I probably have some guys who like do like one play action pass.
Okay.
But so let me put the qualifier on real quick.
Okay. I was gonna say he had a passer rating of 116 and he is in 14th.
He's still 9th.
Top 10.
Top 10. He threw 7 touchdowns. No interceptions.
How many pass attempts?
Only 95.
Well,
it's gonna be funny. It would be hilarious. Like if that.
I got one for you here. Are you ready for this? I think this will be a good way to wrap up this trade.
Oh, that's got to be our clip. I got to find some clips of him balling in play action now. Go ahead. I got to talk to this up. Go ahead.
So my last thing here in this Russell Wilson trade, the haul that Seattle got for him, they could turn that into Deshaun Watson.
They could. I feel like they're going to roll with Drew Lock.
I don't know. If you got an opportunity to go,
I think Pete Carroll's an approval point.
I see what you're saying. Okay,
it's a little personal. Because you got to think about it, man. Like, why trade Russell Wilson? I mean, Russell Wilson is
– He wanted out. That's why. He wanted out. He didn't want to do it anymore.
You know, but, like, I would be like, all right, man, fine. We'll throw all the time. And then if we keep losing them, I mean, that's on you. I mean, you're the near Hall of Fame guy, you know.
Pete's got – that's just two – those are two giant egos. That's all egos. That is.
So I think he's going to try to prove a point with this. I think I listened to Pete Carroll at the Combine, bro. That's a smart guy. He knows a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
Football, right? He knows and he believes in his philosophies and coaching, and he's a really smart guy. So excellent press conference. Probably one of the best coach press conferences I've heard. I feel like I know the Seahawks whole scheme from listening to it. So he's very detailed. So I know he knows that they like to run play action, and he knows that Drew Lock is really good at play action. I know he knows that.
Interesting, Marcus. Very, very interesting.
I can't believe that. And it's funny. The funniest part of that is the guy who really drove that narrative with Drew Lock just actually did like a thread, like killing him today. I think he was terrible and not really thinking. See, that's what people, we don't think football anymore, man.
Mm-mm.
All right, guys. We'll see. All right, next trade, man. All right, let's go to this next trade.
Carson Wentz.
Oh, we got another breaking. Hold on. Oh, that's baseball. Okay.
Okay. They pushed back some more games. Yeah. Stupid owners. Nonsense.
All right. All right. Carson Wentz.
I'm not going to do it. I was going to go and do a little baseball rant, but I'm not going to do it.
All right.
No, I'm going to do it. Marcus, this is the first time my Brewers were going to be in Camden Yards here in April. I think that just got canceled. After living in Baltimore for as long as I did, I never got to see the Brewers in Baltimore. Now I'm back on the East Coast, had the opportunity, got canceled instead. All right, that's it. That's all I got to say.
That's terrible, man. Camden Yards is a nice park too, man. It still is.
It's fantastic.
All right. Carson Wentz. Traded to the Commanders. We got a team to say now.
Crazy. I know, Mark. I think you're gonna do better this time. Now that there's a team name, I think you're gonna do way better.
I think so. We got this. So the Commanders and traded for Carson Wentz. Why? They're desperate for a quarterback. I mean, they're like, give me somebody. The desperation from them is just so bad to me. Like,
I like the move. I like it. I do. I like that move. I think that Rivera is going to be able to work with him. I think Wentz is going to be open to hearing what Rivera's got to say. I think that that is a good – you got a phenomenal number one wide receiver. You got a pretty decent tight end. You've got a good running back behind you. The offensive line's okay. It's not a bad offensive situation.
I feel like you said this last year with the Colts, man.
The Colts – they were well on their way to the playoffs, man.
I know.
I'm not gonna make the predictions that I did for the Colts. I mean, I was really high on Carson Wentz and the Colts this last season, and for a moment there, they almost proved me right.
No, they got Derek Carr, and it was really what happened, but we don't want to admit that. But anyways, it was really what happened. But nobody with Zay Jones.
Zay Jones.
So Carson Wentz, he's going. I'm just saying, this is not a bad. This is insane. Like, why did Russell Wilson turn this one down? Why would he turn down Terry McLaurin?
I don't get that. Why would you turn down Terry McLaurin?
And the NFC's wide open, bro. Matthew Stafford won the Super Bowl. The NFC's wide open. Like,
here's a fun one. Matthew Stafford.
Like, what is he thinking?
Matthew Stafford has now won more playoff games than Russell Wilson in the last 7 years. And he just got those wins in the last 90 days.
I mean, I hate to stick on Russell Wilson, but I just don't get his thought process here. Like, why go to the AFC West when you literally have a good team?
Dude, the NFC East is a dumpster fire, too. They need, like, a quarterback changes the game in the NFC East.
Like, he would literally probably have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. He'd probably meet Aaron Rodgers in the NFC Championship game if he went to Washington.
You pretty much guarantee yourself the division because the Cowboys try and give it away every year. The Eagles are god-awful, and the Giants forgot that they even play football over there. Yeah. So
That Washington's way closer too. They're way closer than Denver is.
They almost took out the Buccaneers when they won the Super Bowl in the playoffs.
That defense
laid an egg this season. Laid an absolute egg this season. Well, it also doesn't help that Chase Young went out with a season-ending injury.
Last thing I'm gonna say, Russell Wilson, but that's ego, man. You really feel like you can come and compete with Justin Herbert? You think you're gonna come rule that division and you couldn't beat Jared Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo? Come on, dog. Like it's just ego. Anyways, Carson Wentz, he gets to go to the better situation now. He's in a great situation. I mean, that's a great situation.
He leaves the AFC where there was more competition.
Yeah, and the NFC East really is no competition for
him. It's a dumpster fire, man. What you get? You get your toughest game is in Dallas every year.
I mean, they're probably gonna make the wild card. Tom Brady's gone, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no reason the Commanders don't make the playoffs next year.
I mean, man.
So really, I don't know what Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers
for the rest of our lives in the NFC for the next 4 years. So that's where Matthew Stafford's gonna. Yeah, Russell Wilson just left and let Matthew Stafford go to the Hall.
Dude, I don't know, because that team's not young in LA, and they don't have any first round draft picks for like 4 years.
They got him in Cup though, man. They got him in Cup. They got like one more year. They got one more year.
I would agree with that. I'll agree with that. But I'll tell you what, if they would have came through Lambeau, there's no way they would have made the Super Bowl.
No, that's true. Yeah, Matthew Stafford probably he had like PTSD at Lambeau.
And Stafford tried to throw the game away against the Niners. They dropped the interception.
See, but that's Super Bowl luck, man. I feel like we can say that about every Super Bowl champ. Like a dropped interception happened, you know?
Nick Foles. He threw the ball up like a punt, man.
Like Matt Ryan might have went to back-to-back Super Bowls if Keanu Neal didn't knee the football. So with Nick Foles. Nick Foles, the Super Bowl championship, got a contract all because Keanu Neal left his knee.
Did.
So,
you know, Chris, did.
That's football. This is the most luckiest sport. So I don't know how Tom Brady won 7. I have no idea how he did it. It's crazy.
I know how, because the narrative changed when Pete Carroll decided to throw the ball instead of run the ball from the 1 yard line. Could you imagine how different the NFL would have been if they would have scored instead of Malcolm Butler getting that interception?
I know Russell Wilson wouldn't have been traded right now. They'd be
I know that Legion of Boom would have stuck together longer.
Longer, yeah. Well, they got old though.
It doesn't matter. That whole mindset of that team changed, bro. They went and broke apart internally because of that game. That game changed everything for the Seattle franchise.
It did.
They could have had that swagger and that mindset. They might have won two more.
Carson Wentz.
Now we got Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz is going to be the divisional. He literally just got traded to the division round because there's really no – who else is over there? Like, literally, what quarterbacks are in the NFC right now that are like – you think, oh, my God, there's like, have you – like Kirk Cousins? Like, Kirk Cousins got to make the playoffs, man.
Didn't he just finish his 3-year deal? He's got to get a new contract, doesn't he?
No, he's got 1 year left.
He's in the last year of it.
Yeah, but I mean, he guaranteed that though. So you take that dead cap, you take that 46 million dead cap,
dude. I'm grateful to be in the NFC North right now.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking about trades. I don't know how many we got left, and we can talk about before we get to Aaron Rodgers. You get to your boy, Big Aaron here. To get the who's next, because you know Carson Wentz, he's going over there. It's going to be interesting in the NFC. You know, why is nobody trading for Matt Ryan?
He's got a gigantic cap number for Fern.
What is it?
He's in the 40s, I think, with his cap number. Or he's over 35 for sure. His number's way too big.
The largest cap hit is 48,000.
48, yeah, because Rodgers right now is 46.
He's 48. 48,000 cap hit.
It's too big of a number.
Why don't you just – well, you can lower the cap, though, if you trade for him, though. Give him a signing bonus.
Yeah, but the Falcons and how much dead money they would have, and they're in trouble because their wide receivers are more concerned with betting than they are with actually playing in the NFL.
I don't know. I want, you know, I was watching some free agents, and I started watching the free agent against the Falcons. And I was watching Matt Ryan, man. I was like, man, he's still pretty good.
Like, he's still got it together. Like, he's still capable.
Yeah, he's still a pretty good quarterback. I mean, and then I turned some other tape, and he was playing pretty well. And they're like, why is nobody? I mean, if there's a guy that could take your team to the Super Bowl, if you trade for him, I mean, with a good team, I mean, I feel like it'd be him. I mean, he still has the pocket movement. He actually looks more athletic than he ever has, to be honest.
He's been running for his life the last few years.
he's gotten like lighter.
He's not running because he wants to, Marcus.
He's more athletic than he's ever been. I mean, his arm is not as strong, I guess, as it used to be, but I mean,
he's still got a pretty good arm.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Like, he's just not like a sought after quarterback. I feel like that somebody would be willing to take that cap hit with a good team, like the Saints or something. I mean, the Falcons would never change the Saints, though. But
no, but you know who I heard some rumblings that the Saints are going after Jimmy G.
Yeah. See, the thing is, Jimmy G, like, you have to trade for him too.
Yeah. That's a 20 mil hit somewhere. I mean, that's not a bad number, though. It's not 40, 48, 49. It's not big like that.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? But like, you have to you have to give up assets to get him. And that's the interesting part of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Do you, though? Like, how much do you have to give up to get Jimmy? Because they're in trouble. They're going to get rid of him anyway.
I mean, $26,000 cap is not that bad, bro. I mean,
mil.
It's really not that much for a quarterback.
No, 26 mil? No, that's not bad at all. Dude, with all the pushing money around that the Packers are having to do, they just restructured Bakhtiari. His cap hit is quarterback number now. He's in the mid to high 20s.
Damn.
Yeah, so it's changed. The game's definitely changed. It's changed. Jimmy G's not a bad cap number anymore. You know who's a really good cap number that I think we might hear some more about going forward, especially now with this Carson Wentz trade?
Yeah.
And this will kind of feed us into a conversation about Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Is getting some love, is what I hear from the Indianapolis Colts. Because mm-hmm. Chris Ballard wanted to draft him.
Yeah.
So, Jordan Love, in my opinion, is a first-round value pick because this quarterback class is trash, straight trash. Jordan Love is actually about the same. He's 3 months older than Matt Corral. I think he's younger than Kenny Pickett. He's younger than Joe Burrow. I know that. Like, you got a kid that's been in the NFL for a few years now. He's got some NFL experience under his belt. And he's a better prospect than any of these kids coming out right now.
Yeah, he is.
So let's find out what happens here with the backup.
Because I haven't watched Jordan Love. So what would you say? Do you think he's good enough to be a starter right now? Be honest, Chris.
Yes, I think he's good enough to be a starter right now. He just needs to be in the right system. He can't run an offense like Aaron Rodgers can, which is the mistake that Matt LaFleur made when Jordan Love had to play against Kansas City. And by the way, he kept them in the game the entire time. So he's trying to play a game as if he's Aaron Rodgers and keeping the Packers in the game on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. So if he gets the opportunity to have an offense built for his abilities, I mean, I thought Jordan Love would win 10 games if we traded Aaron Rodgers this next year.
Okay.
If we would have traded Aaron Rodgers instead of him coming back, I think Jordan Love wins 10.
Oh, you're that confident, huh? He impressed you that much, huh?
He has had the opportunity to spend it'll be his third season in the offense, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So I have more confidence in the fact that he knows the offense. He's surrounded by pristine talent. Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon in the backfield, Bakhtiari, Elton Jenkins, offensive line. Myers had a huge rookie year, even though he spent the majority of it injured. Like, there's talent on the offensive side of the ball for the Green Bay Packers that if Aaron Rodgers didn't come back, Jordan Love would be capable. That's how I felt about that whole situation. That's why I'd say he's a 10-win guy. I think if he goes to Indy, he could probably win 10 games there, turning around and hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor with that defense.
Okay. All right.
So I think it depends on the situation and where he goes. I think he can win 10 games in Indianapolis.
Okay. All right. You know about the Lions game. I'm just looking at his Lions game here. And PFF is mean. They're not nice to people. They don't like anymore. Joe Burrow is an elite quarterback with their elite, whatever. Yeah, whatever your grading system is, it had since Joe Burrow was elite. You guys got to fix that. That's my opinion. But anyways, Jordan Love, I mean, he is an option. He's an option, Chris. But yes, let's transition to Aaron Rodgers signing a 4-year. $200 million that he said, and that's not the price.
So I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna stop you right there. I don't think there's been no contract. There's no signed. The Packers have not released anything saying that Aaron Rodgers was signed to a deal. There was no Instagram, which they do every time they sign somebody. They do some Instagram post or Facebook post, or Twitter post. There's been no official signing with the team.
Okay.
All he said is that he's coming back, and they've gotten to, what is it, the 16th? They got to be under the cap. Mm-hmm. It'll be a contract done between now and the 16th. Absolutely. But there's no official contract. Anything that you've said about numbers, I don't believe it. I don't believe that there's any numbers. He's coming back. I believe that. And also, the last 2 weeks of people just slandering him for him trying to make a decision and saying what he wants when he's not said a single thing about what he wants. The only thing that I've heard that can be confirmed is that he wants a cap friendly deal so the team's competitive. That's all I've heard that actually is real, in my opinion. All this other talking is just nonsense.
Yeah. If you told him, give me $100 million in cash or I'm walking.
Oh, you got! I need $50 million a year. Who said that?
He doesn't need 50.
I've heard saying that is ESPN and all these talking heads who are trying to find something to say about him on their shows. Like they're the only ones that said $50 million. Aaron Rodgers never said $50 million.
See, I've been reading up on NFL contracts just because doing more of the journalist stuff, free agency. So I've been reading up on NFL contracts, and they're not the same as they used to be because there's so much cash in the NFL. So a lot of these teams, they're just playing these dudes cash and then dealing with it later in their pocketbooks, in their salary cap books, right? Yeah. So, and it's basically Aaron Rodgers is smart, so he probably knows that. So he's probably like, hey, you guys can give me $100 million in cash. We can bring this cap down. I'm happy. We're happy. We keep winning.
And like, exactly. He's gonna retire as a Packer. And yeah.
He's probably got some huge signing bonus. Huge. It's probably huge, bro.
That's fine. As long as that cap number goes down and they can bring people back, I could care less how much money they pay him. As long as his number goes down and the Packers have the ability to continue to build a roster, if he handcuffs them, different story. But that doesn't sound like what's going to happen. And I'm being driven insane by – I don't turn on ESPN. I don't turn on FS1. Like, I can't watch any of these channels – as they just speculate about Aaron Rodgers 24/7. It drives me through the roof.
Bro, tell you, we do not care about football anymore. It's officially official for me, man. It's
just about the drama, man. They just want it to be it's so The Bachelor. They just want it's The Bachelor.
It's the entertainment, man. Entertainment. I'm trying to find this signing bonus for where is this? So 16 million. So Josh Allen is only 16 million, huh? But it's guaranteed at signing. That's what it is. That's the prorated one.
Dude, and the cap
let's use Josh Allen as an example. They gave him $100 million in cash. And his cap number in 2021, you know what his base salary was?
$920,000.
You know what it is this year? You know what his base salary is this year? $4 million.
Yeah, man. They did the same thing with Patrick Mahomes. I think the first year of his new contract, his base salary was $700,000.
Yeah.
That's how they were able to keep that team together the way that they did. His new number, I think next year, his base salary jumps to $40 million.
Yeah.
So they can get creative with these numbers, man. I'm not worried about it right now. Like, Rodgers coming back. They got to get under the cap. They tag Devontae. Like, they're going to do some creative stuff here to make sure they're under the cap. And I think Rodgers has a pretty impressive contract. I think if it's a four-year deal, I think he will play 2 years for sure. That puts him in his season where he's 40 years old. That puts him 20 years with the Green Bay Packers. That could be his retirement year. And then they figure out some way to deal with the dead money in the final 2 years of the deal. So who knows what's going to happen. Also, I could see Jordan Love not going anywhere. Because if Rodgers only sticks around for two more years, you've got Love at a nice cheap number for two seasons more anyway. So there's a lot of different ways that this can go for the Green Bay Packers, and I won't speculate one way or the other. I just know that the cap number right now is miserable. I'm pretty sure Za'Darius Smith is gone. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens, because now they have to start working extensions. They got to extend Devontae. They got to extend Jair. They got to redo Preston Smith's contract if he's coming back. Like, there's just a lot of money that they got to move around to make sure that they're in a good spot. And I'm not gonna even try and speculate how they'll get it done.
Sorry to interrupt you, Chris, but can't Rashawn Gary do what Preston Smith does?
Rashawn Gary is the reason why Za'Darius Smith is gone. I see a monster year after Gary, out of Gary this season.
They have a first round. Yeah, first round picks, right?
We got one first round pick. I think we're at 28. I think that there's that opportunity to draft a good edge in the first round. I also, because right now on the roster, we have Devontae Adams tagged.
Mm-hmm.
We have Amari Rodgers on his rookie deal. And we have Randall Cobb. Those are the only receivers under contract for the Green Bay Packers right now. So I think
you don't think they bring back MVS?
I think they cut Randall Cobb. I think they tender Alan Lazard.
Okay.
I think they draft the kid from Bama at 28.
Which one?
The one that tore his ACL.
Oh, two of them did.
What's his name?
Williams.
Yeah. Williams. Yeah, Williams is the burner, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the burner. That would be pretty good. That would be pretty good.
I think he replaces MVS and is just a long-term win.
Yes, he doesn't have bad hands. He has great
I think he's a long-term win for the Packers at 28.
That was one of the best things about him is his hands. He catches everything. He can't really track the ball that well. He's not a good ball tracking guy.
Which is weird. He'll need to figure it out, because if he's going to be the deep threat, that's going to be the main thing he's got to do.
He misjudged some Bryce Young dimes that bothered me. I'm like, dog, you can't misjudge that dime, bro. Like, he threw it perfectly. You misjudged the ball in the air. You can't stop. He's throwing it. He knows your speed. Like, don't stop. Don't assume he doesn't know your speed. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, people don't understand the timing that deep balls take, too. People don't understand that either.
No. Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into that.
People just think a quarterback just throws deep balls to like a random guy and he's just perfectly there every time. Like, no, there's a lot of timing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways.
Fact.
So Aaron Rodgers, he's getting buku paid, you know what I mean? I just look at these guarantees of signing. I'm like, how are the Bengals gonna? The Bengals have these philosophies with their contracts. There's no way they're signing Burrow and Jamar Chase. I don't know what they're gonna do.
And it's funny because you see things like Keenan Allen got paid and Mike Williams just got paid. And the only reason that they can pay both of them is because they got Herbert only earning $3 million a year right now. Yeah. So
they're going to give Herbert $250 million in cash.
They're going to be in trouble when Herbert's got to get paid. So
Herbert's getting like $250 million in cash, bro. Literally. He's going to get like $250. Watch.
I don't talk about that nonsense.
And then you're going to make the playoffs next year. He's still going to get it.
I don't even want to.
So last but not least, man, last but not least, Chris, let's get to this combine.
Last but not least, Marcus, you, our very own, at the Mark John NFL.
Yeah.
Was at the combine and the Senior Bowl this year.
Yeah, the combine. I'm probably not going to go to the Senior Bowl next year. I decided that.
Really?
Yeah.
Just the combine? No Senior Bowl?
Yeah. Senior Bowl is just not – I mean, it's cool, but it's not like that. That's where you need to be. I was mad they let me in Prime 47. I'm still Prime 47. I made a reservation at 9:30 to be in there with the agents and stuff. You didn't let me in. I didn't get my call back. I'm still mad. I hit the button. I hit confirm. You accepted it. I'm still mad about that. I'm so mad. I couldn't get Prime 47, bro. Because that place like turned into like a mob house of agents. And I would have known everything, Chris. I could have came back with Chris Whiskey traded to the I could have said sources say that Carson Wentz might get traded. You know what I mean? I could have been in there, bro. My reservation just poof. Magically disappeared. Magically. From Prime 47. Maybe it's probably Jerry Jones or something. He's like, I want to get in there at 9:30. He's like, well, I don't care. I'm not. All right, Jerry. Click. I mean, Jerry's, Marcus just doesn't get a call back. All right, but anyways, that was the most disappointed part. I was mad when I saw that picture on Friday night. I saw a picture like every single agent and sports guy in there, and I made a damn reservation at 9:30. I should have been eating steak right with them people. All right, anyways, but I was out there. I was out there with the combine. I got a lot of quarterback little interviews. Got to talk to Caleb Ealy. I got to talk to Desmond Ridder. Didn't get to Malik Willis. He was crowded. Mm-hmm. Desmond Ridder wasn't crowded at all, really. Kenny Pickett was crowded. Kenny Pickett was an hour late. I guess he hates the media or something. So
he's mad about how they're talking about his hands. His hands.
Well, don't have small hands.
Did he wear gloves the whole time? Was he wearing gloves?
Yeah. Of course he did.
Yeah.
We can't throw without gloves, Chris. I don't like it's a limitation he's gonna have, but that's really what's holding him back from being a higher draft pick. I think people are finding reasons not to like
him. Bro, I'm seeing mock drafts of
don't read any mock drafts.
Willis going at 2 or 3 and Matt Corral in the top 10.
Don't read any mock drafts because we love quarterbacks so much. They're forcing these guys in there into their mocks. Marcus,
4 in the first round.
Like that's only happens to like historic draft classes. Like 2018. Yeah. Yeah, those 5 of those guys go. Yeah. We all like them. We all know that they have first round talent. They all got first round size. We all see it, right? And even though some of them didn't work out, we all saw that they had first round talent. I mean, that makes mm-hmm. sense. There's 5 guys that go. Mm-hmm. You go to, 2020, the 3 first round talent guys, they go. Nobody else goes. Just those 3, right? Mm-hmm. 2021.
Not 5
draft, right? 5 win, right? 2021.
Yeah, and they had no business sending all 5 through the first round.
I mean, they had the talent. Though Zach Wilson has the size. He has the talent. Okay. Trevor Lawrence has the size and the talent. I mean, that's a film argument. You're making film arguments here, Chris. Now you're good, which I agree with, but he had the talent, though. He's had the size and the talent. He did. You can say whatever you want behind him, but he does have first-round talent. I mean, Trey Lance has first-round talent. I mean, Mac Jones, I mean, I don't know, but, I mean, he had first-round pedigree. Let's say that.
I don't like how well you're using that verbiage. I really don't like how well you're using that verbiage, Marcus. But anyway, man comes back from the combine and he's talking. He's using all the right words. I'm not liking this, man. I don't know if I can argue with you anymore.
But anyway, but yeah, I mean, there's a difference. You know what I mean? Like it's. Like, we knew. Like, it's not shocking. Mac Jones going to the first round. It's not shocking to us. We're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Patriots first round, 15. Yeah, that makes sense right for Mac Jones, right? It's not crazy. You know, I wouldn't take Zach Wilson, too, but, like, all right, fine. You would like that talent. You like that he can move. He can throw on the run. He got a good arm. Yeah, you like it. You like his athleticism. I get it. That's fine. But, I mean, there's nobody like that really here. And the only guy who's really like that is Desmond Ridder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Desmond Ridder has pretty good tape. I would say he has second round tape. He does. He has second
sure.
round.
Sure, I'll agree with that.
Okay. Now, if you're going to take any of these guys in the top 10, shouldn't you take the 6'4 guy who runs a 4.49, who has second round tape and ran a pro offense in college? And is, I mean, the dude is like a he's a gravitating leader. I want to go put on pads after I interviewed him. So, you know, he's great because it's like, he's like funny, but like serious. So it's like dry, mm-hmm. but he's like a leader. And, you know, the way he just talked about Sauce Gardner, like he was just the dude just, he just has like it's hard to understand. He has that leadership charisma.
Sure.
Like that you like, right? Like mm-hmm. that is just natural. He's a leader, and Cincinnati made the playoffs. He came in there.
And there was an argument that they should have the year before.
Right? Bro, so there's something to him.
No, I agree with you. So
if I'm going to take a quarterback in the first round out of these guys, and that's kind of how I look at it, because his tape is not – I mean, is it great? It really is a first-round tape. He doesn't have first-round tape. I mean, he doesn't. But he anticipates at times. You can see him has the ability to anticipate. He does run a pro offense. Mm-hmm. They run sticks. They run they run pro concepts of West Coast. It's not like he's not going to be out of place, mm-hmm. right? He mm-hmm. might be able to figure it out. And he's a senior, and he's a leader, and he's an athletic freak. I don't know. so these other guys aren't that. You should probably bet on him. If you're going to bet on somebody, I'm going to bet on Desmond Ridder. That maybe he just becomes Carson Wentz, or better Marcus Mariota, is my comp for him. I think he's
okay
because I think he's more of a pocket passer. That's the thing. Another thing with him too is he runs a 4.49, but he doesn't run.
Yeah, he was a pocket kid for sure.
He's a pure pocket passer. He stays in there as long as possible. I mean, for how fast he is, it kind of shocked me. Was how fast he was. He just never used his legs. But I mean, when you notice, if he does do his own read and he keeps it,
and he goes to the corner. He goes.
Which it all connected. It all connected. Oh wow, okay, that makes sense. He keeps it. He is the corner. He's like, and it's like he has long strides. Doesn't look like he's moving as fast.
But we're deceptive, man. Us guys with those long strides, we're deceptively fast.
Exactly. So if you have a Jared Goff and you're going to reach and take quarterback at two, take the 6'4 guy who runs a 4.49 that you all saw at the Senior Bowl, and you know he's a leader. Like you coached the Senior Bowl, you know he's a leader. Like mm-hmm. that's who you take. You don't take Malik Willis. You take Malik Willis in the third or the second or the late second. Same place you take Jalen Hurts. That's where you take Malik Willis. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not a better prospect than Jalen Hurts, so why reach on him?
Well, was Jalen Hurts really that good of a prospect?
Is Malik Willis a better prospect, Chris?
Okay. I'm sitting here talking about. I was still on the Ridder. I'm not going to disagree with you with Malik Harris. Okay.
Okay. Go back to Ridder.
No, I agreed with everything that you said about Ridder. I liked. Everything that you were talking about, especially with that time that you got to spend hearing him talk and hearing him interview, like that's the most important part, in my mm-hmm. opinion. That relationship that you build in the locker room, the relationship you build on the field, and that's a key piece of Matthew Stafford's success in the NFL. The way that he is with his teammates, like that matters almost more than anything else. Because you got a guy who's athletic as hell, and Kyler Murray, who's getting dogged about how he acts in the locker room.
Yeah. Exactly, because and the way that he leads, you know, it's funny. My dad picked me up from the airport because he hates Kyler Murray, so it's hilarious. But of course, he went on a rant, and the first thing he does, you notice how none of his teammates come for him. They ain't backing him. You see anybody backing him? I'm like, I mean, you're right, Dad. Show me the least.
Well, your dad's a smart man.
No, he didn't.
And
he's doing some commercials or something.
The only thing that's killing me is the re-sign of Cliff and Steve Kime. That's the only thing that's hurting my narrative right now is they're bringing him back.
Oh, they're gonna pay Kyler. They're about to pay him probably like by the end of the week. He's kind of put all his stuff back up. You see that?
I did see it go back up.
Yeah.
He put his all his back to that drama stuff that they want in the NFL. Yeah. Make it not about the play on the 45 field.
$45 million for doing nothing.
doing nothing is right.
Oh my God. Anyways, but back to this draft class. It's
not good.
Ritter and Pickett. If you're gonna take any of those, I mean, if you take,
you don't even want to say Pickett, huh? You don't even want to say Pickett. Wow. Marcus, you were there, and you don't even want to say Pickett, huh?
It's just where in the first you take him.
the only place that makes sense to me for Pickett is the Steelers.
Yeah, I could see that happening. And that would make sense. And he's a smart quarterback. It's not like he's going to turn the ball over or nothing like that.
No.
I just worried about him, you know, being an hour late to the media. But like, why are you an hour late, bro? Like, I don't care if you don't like the media. It's like, show up, bro. Like, be on time. Yeah. You're literally an hour late. You know, everybody else has to be on time. Like, why? Who are you? You know, Desmond Ridder was on time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, Chris. I don't.
So rank them, Marcus. Rank them. Give me five.
Give you five. Okay.
And tell me where they should be drafted.
All right, my five. I got Desmond Ridder. I'm going Desmond Ridder QB1.
Wow.
I'm doing it. QB1. I even thought about it. I got a breakdown on TDL. This is not that shocking to if my TDL listeners. I said it. Is he QB1? You got a game to watch, Chris, for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to watch the Notre Dame game. That was their game.
Yeah, okay? that was the biggest their game biggest of his career.
Game, biggest game of his career. And he lit it up in the fourth quarter. I mean, lit it up.
He did. He absolutely did.
He was anticipating. He threw dimes. He didn't miss. He was missing the whole game. Mechanics off the whole game. It's like ugly. I was like, man, what is this? And the fourth quarter turned on. And I was like, oh, my God. And then I went to another game. And the same thing happened. And, you know, the last guy, we talked about this, Chris. The last two guys this happened with me with were Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson. And look at them. You know, there's something to playing well in the fourth quarter, too. I think there's
– Agreed. We
missed that with college quarterbacks.
Agreed.
How good are you
when the game's on the line?
When the game is on the line. That's why I love Bryce Young, because Bryce Young did a 99-yard drive with a minute 38 left against Auburn without John Metchie and without Jameson Williams. It's crazy. But anyways.
So Ritter's at one.
I like Ritter at QB1. I really feel like that. You can, if I'm going to take a chance with somebody, it's him.
That's the guy. I get that. That makes sense. I'm not going to fight you on that.
Yeah. I mean, what is Cincinnati? Do they go back to 7-6 next year? For sure. Right. Exactly. So, Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett's QB2. Yeah, I think Kenny Pickett is Derek Carr without a big arm. So he has like the talent of Derek Carr, but he doesn't have the arm. He has like the same exact athletic profile.
Interesting. Was he like a Chad Pennington?
That's my thing with Pickett. Like, he can't get a lot of zip on the ball now. So if he goes to Pittsburgh and it's cold and he has the short hands, he's getting a lot of zip on the ball on those passes. Same thing with Joe Burrow. I mean, Joe Burrow has that tweet, but I saw Joe Burrow float a interception right to Kansas City in the cold. I don't know. I don't know what he was watching, but I watched it. I watched him float that interception. That was probably a short pass, and he probably would have got more zip on it if he had bigger hands. Let's keep. I mean, we throw away the hands thing, but like, it's a big football.
It is.
It is cold.
It's tough to. Yeah, you're not wrong, dude. You're not wrong.
And Joe Burrow didn't he didn't light it up that game. Like, Joe Burrow was out there with his small hands lighting it up. I mean, Patrick Mahomes has small hands and he struggled that game at the end. You know, it's the things we don't think about, but Drew Brees wouldn't have, because Drew Brees got 10 inch hands. His hand, Josh Allen was in Kansas City throwing dimes, just right. He's in Buffalo.
That win game against New England,
So there's something to that.
Sure.
People just ignore it. I mean, obviously, it's a measurable that is a historic measurable for a reason. Mm-hmm. Like, we just can't ignore measurables. We don't ignore measurables with defensive ends, but we ignore measurables with quarterback. It just bothers the hell out of me. Nobody's taking a 6'1", 205 defensive end top five. No matter if he runs a 4-1, they're not doing it.
You ain't wrong.
They're not really good. But sorry, Matt Niskot, 3, Malik Willis. I think Malik Willis has a chance to, I mean, he's fixed his mechanics. I like that. He actually looks mechanically better. He's not completely fixed. It doesn't look like he's just out there playing football, because that's what he looks like on tape at Liberty. He looks like he just say, hike, let's ball. Like he's playing high school football. Because that's what it looks like. He's just, he doesn't care about mechanics. He doesn't care about where he's throwing. He's like, how do I win with this team? And it's like, basically that's how he's playing. He's playing with like a lot of reckless abandon. So he's not really trying to go through reads. Not really trying to do any of that. He's just playing football. He's a football player. He's a great football player. I get it. But he's got to play quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I think he has the acumen. He picked up the offenses really quick in the Senior Bowl.
Senior Bowl, yeah. I remember you talking. We had you talking about that.
I'm really impressed with that. So I like him for that. But he's just short, and he has too much work, and he's like old. So he's almost a finished product, and he's short, and he's not a finished product as a mechanically or anything like that. So it's a lot of project that doesn't have a lot of time to be a project. That's
yeah.
Maybe if he was like a redshirt sophomore, I'd be like more hype about him because
yeah,
you know, he has more, you know, better chance.
Time to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I'll go. I will go Sam Howell. I think Howell.
Oh.
I think he's a football player too. I think he's a tough kid. I just don't think you should take him anywhere in the first round and the second round because, like I said, he needs a lot of work. He's an older quarterback, but you got to work on him mechanically, and you got to teach him how to run an NFL offense because he didn't run an NFL offense
mm-hmm.
in college at all. They didn't do anything in NFL. And then he struggled to pick up an NFL offense at the Senior Bowl, and then the game started, and he just started balling. So did he look really good? Like, oh, everybody look at Sam Howell. Like, yeah, because he's a football player. Like, some of these guys can really play football. Like, they're top-level quarterbacks in college. They can play football, but it doesn't mean he could pick up an NFL offense quick enough where you could take him in the first round.
Right.
So he's a project, probably backup quarterback, until he proves that he's not a project backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's on him. Maybe he could prove that. Maybe he can learn offense, and he can get his chance, and he can be a Kirk Cousins. I mean, Kirk Cousins did it.
Sure.
I mean, that's kind of the role that Sam Howell has to take. Same with Carson Strong, who's 5. I think Strong is just – he's the statue kind of old-school pocket quarterback. He has good pocket mobility. But, I mean, I think he needs a lot of work in NFL concepts too. And he's older, and they have a lot of – they're not finished products. And we got to mm-hmm. – you know what I mean? Like
– oh, yeah.
You can't take a fifth-year senior project quarterback. This doesn't make any sense.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong.
So like, let's say Pickett and Ritter are more like, okay, they're finished products. I could probably justify a first-round pick with them. But the other guys, I can't. Man, I'm sorry, guys. I can't do it.
All right. There it is. Marcus is 5.
There's my 5, guys. I'm not changing
it. I'm not going to argue with him on that. I've been very unimpressed by this quarterback class.
Unimpressive.
And I'm not going to fight you on that.
Last thoughts before we get out of here. I just want to say, and I think that's why all these quarterbacks are getting traded right now, is all you have to do is watch Treylon Burks, Garrett Wilson, and Chris Olave, and watch the Alabama receivers, and just watch their quarterbacks, and you're like, yeah, none of these guys are as good as them, and all those guys are coming out next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like KJ Johnson would go – if KJ Johnson would go to Arkansas, if he came out this year, he'd be number 1. Will Levis, Kentucky, number 1. They did all – I mean, it's a way better class, and that's why we're seeing all these – you know, these guys are collecting draft picks. They're collecting
them. Mm-hmm.
Collections. They're building
mm-hmm.
collections.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because some of these guys are coming out. I mean, they got talent, and they're – besides Bryce Young, which I think Bryce Young – he's a short guy that knows how to do passing lanes. He's not Baker Mayfield, who thinks he's tall. He knows he's short. So that's what I like about Bryce. Bryce knows he's short. I can watch him play. Like, he's like, I gotta find the lane. If I can't find the lane, I'm not gonna see it. So I like that self-awareness. Like, know you're short, bro.
Big
short,
piece. That's important.
Know who you are. So and then you got CJ Stroud, who I think he's probably the most project out of all of them, but I mean he's like 6'4", 230 with a cannon. Like I can work with that. Mm-hmm. So you know, maybe I just try for Carson Wentz for a year, it doesn't work out, but then I got 3 third round picks, I got my first, maybe a couple twos, maybe I just
mm-hmm.
load them up. You know, Seahawks, I got a couple ones. Drew Lock maybe doesn't work out for me. I got a couple ones there. I got some twos here, maybe. I got some trade bait DK Metcalf over there. Uh-huh. Boom, I move up. You know, I'm loaded back up.
So I think a lot of that has to do with that. I think everybody just got done watching the wide receiver class and they're like, man, these quarterbacks are terrible. That's what I thought watching these guys. But anyways, that's my last thoughts. Any last thoughts, Chris?
This is quite the wide receiver class. Like, we're going to go a few years in a row of having some pretty impressive kids coming out at the wide receiver position.
Yeah. I still think some of them need to go play corner.
But hey, they were fast, man. They were very fast.
Like Tyquan Thornton should be go play corner. I don't know who told me he needs to be a wide receiver for this whole life, but guys, go play corner sometime. Corner, like, all the corners were slow this year. Like, what is happening to quarterbacks?
Nobody
wants to play it. No, all the fast guys are like, I'm wide. Give me the ball. Let me go. Yeah. This is so offensive centric that nobody wants to play cornerback anymore. Oh. We got all these
fast. You're not allowed to hit anybody anymore, man, playing football. So,
but corner, come on, man. Corners never hit anybody, anyways. I feel like this is even more.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
That's safety. But anyways, it's a good class for wide receivers, but we'll see how that goes. But
hashtag we'll see, Marcus.
It's a defensive draft, so everybody's bored. Everybody's bored. Oh. You should have seen the defensive backs last day, man. Like, everybody left. I was like, this is the best people in the draft. Nobody's here. It's just me and like 20 other people left to interview these guys. They're like sitting there at the podium looking around. Like, you're like, man, I'm like Sauce Gardner's the best player. Like, what do we? But like, everybody's the whole place was there from league. Like, it just makes no sense, man.
It's not about football anymore, Marcus. It's about.
And we're a quarterback show. I'm complaining about quarterbacks. It's crazy.
I know. All
right. Anyways. All right, guys. You guys know what to do. Follow us on Twitter. ALPA_QB1. Get us to 100. That should be the motto for the offseason.
Get us to 100.
Right? Get us to 100 there.
Because there's more than 100 of you listening. That's for absolutely sure.
I know for sure. We know that.
We know where that number is. And it's well above 100.
So, yeah, make sure you guys do that. Follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Instagram, ALPA_QB1. Follow us on Twitter at TheMarkGiantNFL for me, at KingManellos for Chris. You guys already know to hit the Facebook as well, A Little Park Awareness. If you like Facebook, then if you like iTunes, subscribe. If you like Spotify, download. So, we're out of here. Probably have like 5 trades by next week. I know, right? We're going to be talking about where Mitch Trubisky's going next week and how,
I thought we were going to make the whole show without somebody talking about him.
I'm hoping he gets like a 2-year, $50 million contract. So we can talk about that. So we can really have something to talk about. Because
who would have thought Sam Bradford's 1-year, $20 million deal wasn't the biggest joke ever?
He was the buzz of the combine, was Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, my God. End it, Marcus. I don't want to talk about this anymore. End the show.
Peace, guys.